Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Icebergs are those small but majestic white mountains you might see floating in the North Atlantic, and anyone familiar with the sinking of the Titanic is aware of its possible dangers they sometimes pose. But what are these things? Where do they come from? Where do they end up? Have they always been there? And will they always be there in the future? Are they alive? How old are they? And what else should we know about these bergs? The Berg is a new documentary on CBC's The Nature of Things that follows the life and death of a single iceberg in the North Atlantic from the place of its birth to where it disappears. It's a breathtakingly beautiful film about water, ice, and the people and animals that exist among them. And it includes absolutely stunning underwater photography like nothing you've ever seen before. It's directed by Christine McLean, the award-winning Halifax-based documentarian, broadcaster, and academic whose work has been seen on this show and as head writer on Mega Marine Machines on the Science Channel and has directed 7 wildlife documentaries for CBC's Land and Sea. The Berg features professional diver Jill Heinerth, the first person in the world to swim inside Antarctic icebergs. Jill is the explorer in residence at the Royal Canadian Geographical Society, author of Into the Planet and the Aquanaut, and a tireless advocate for conservation, climate change, and water resource protection. The Berg is premiering on February 26th on CBC's The Nature of Things and CBC Gem. And I'm very pleased to have both Jill and Christine here with me from Halifax via Zoom to tell us more about the Berg. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
And are you in Halifax too?
Actually, I'm down in Abaco in the Bahamas right now.
Okay, a slight difference.
I literally just crawled out of an underwater cave.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, thanks so much for both of you for making time for this. So, Christine, as director of Natural and Wildlife Docs, what attracted you to doing something about icebergs?
Well, it's very interesting that the year before this show was brought to me, I actually was yearning to go to Newfoundland and see the icebergs there. It was on my personal wish list, and I was quite frustrated not to find somebody who is as enthusiastic about it as I was. So when the New Brunswick company, Hemmings House, approached me to direct this show, I was over the moon at the opportunity to not only go to Newfoundland, but go to Greenland and be out on the water and up close with icebergs.
And how long have you been working on this one?
I'm sure it was a long time coming together, you know, the development stage. But we spent months, filming it, me writing it, and then editing it. You know, documentaries take a lot of work that I love, but typically they're a year in the making.
So, Jill, the movie follows the life of an iceberg. Where do they come from?
Well, we followed this iceberg from Greenland. So, ice comes off the Greenland ice sheet and then makes a journey across Davis Strait. Sometimes these bergs get locked up in the Arctic for a while, trapped in the sea ice, but then they come down the coast of Labrador and Newfoundland. A few have even made it as far south as Bermuda before they completely melt back into the ocean. But it's quite a journey and an important one, actually, for seeding the ocean with life.
And just because I've heard about your adventures, what about the ones coming from the south?
Well, in Antarctica, I was the first person to cave dive inside an iceberg. In fact, the largest one we ever saw on our planet that was the size of Jamaica. That's a whole different story. The magnitude of those bergs is quite something.
So The iceberg, the berg that you follow in the film, Christine, how big is it? It's not as big as Jamaica, I assume.
No, not nearly. And it was very interesting how we came to choose that particular iceberg. It was in Trinity Bay, which is in an area called Iceberg Alley along the coast of Newfoundland, and it's sort of one of the highways that the icebergs that originate in Greenland travel south. And it was one of many beautiful icebergs that were available to us while we were there. But one of the things that becomes very clear in the show is not just the beauty of the icebergs, but the treachery of the icebergs. They can be very, very dangerous. And we were so fortunate to have Jill available to us for this show because it was really important to us to show not just the outside of our berg, but the underside of our berg, because that actually constitutes 90% of the entirety of the berg. And she was the person who enabled us to get those incredible pictures underneath the iceberg. And so it was important that we pick one that was, we were joking about it, that it was not the most handsome iceberg in the bay, but, and it wasn't even the tallest iceberg in the bay. It was kind of a squat, but it was very stable, very safe. And Jill was part of choosing that iceberg so that we were able to safely capture the video that we got for this show. And it was also in a place where we could watch it over a period of time and follow some of its adventures. And we were actually there right till the end of its lifespan.
Well, Jill, the ball's in your court now. So, can you describe what it's like to be underwater at the underside or the lower parts of that iceberg?
Icebergs are incredible because they're beautiful on top, but I think they're even more beautiful underwater. They're scalloped and fissured because they've been carved by the hand of the sea, by currents and winds and motion. And at times, they're so far underwater, they'll even hop along the seafloor. And when they do that, when they rise with a wave and then crash down, the bottom part will actually shatter, sending ice shards upward and also, other marine life, kelp and silt and everything shooting upward. But the iceberg itself actually has a sound. You can hear the fizzing as it's melting. You can watch the bubbles being released from it. And it's actually carrying like a biological wake along with it, which is, to me, one of the most fascinating things because the diatoms that live close to the ice are capturing carbon. They are producing oxygen that we breathe, and they're, serving as the base of the food chain for everything that's in the ocean.
So tell me about that, because I always think of icebergs as lumps of ice, but in the documentary you show how the fish and other animals, they want to be near it. It's like their feeding ground. What are they eating there? What is it that attracts them?
Yeah, it's like a buffet. So you imagine the ice and snow that fell on Greenland and layered up over years and years and years. Within those layers, there's minerals, there's all kinds of nutrition. There's volcanic ash, there's anything that was in the atmosphere, and that all feeds these incredible little single cellular organisms, diatoms, and those are then providing, food for the plankton and then shrimp and then fish and everything on up to whales. So it really is the base of the food chain. And we're learning now that there's a very fatty kind of diatom that likes to be close to the ice. So good nutrition. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, Christine, everyone knows the group Greenland has been in the news a lot recently. I noticed Canada just opened its first consulate in Nuuk. But when you were starting to make the movie, there was no Greenland was not much in the news, or was it already?
It was,
Oh, okay.
yeah, it was gaining attention. And in fact, when we were there, we weren't in Nuuk, which is the capital. We were in a town called Ilulissat, which is near one of the most active glaciers that produces the icebergs that we tend to see off of Newfoundland. But there were so many tourists in Greenland when we were there, and I spoke to a lot of them because we were trying to capture the impact that icebergs have on people. The people, everybody we talked to was so thrilled to be near those icebergs. Some of them confessed to coming just because they were curious, because they were hearing more about Greenland because of the American interest in taking it over.
Well, Jill, I understand icebergs play a very particular role within Greenland culture. Can you talk about that or?
I mean, Greenland is maybe a misnomer because it's icy. Iceland is actually greener than Greenland. And so, life evolves and lives around the ice. And if you stand in Ilulissat on the hillside and you look down at the calving front of the glacier, it's just, it will change you. It's earth-shattering to see the scale of this ice and to see how quickly it's actually calving and moving away. But everything in Greenland is about life on the ice and in connection with the ice.
And when you see the calving happening quickly, is that a sign of anything? What does that mean to climate today? What does that mean?
Well, the glacier is calving and losing ice faster and faster. It's really exponential how quickly it's moving out. There used to be such tall bergs that they would overtower the hillside in Ilulissat, and now you look down on it. So we are losing ice faster and faster all over the planet, and that ice moving from the land to the water is what contributes to sea level rise. So it's sort of like dropping too many ice cubes into a glass, right? It'll eventually overflow.
Wow. We don't have that much time yet, but just a few quick questions. First, Jill, isn't it really cold under there? I not in not in not not in the Caribbean, but like by an iceberg, isn't that how do you keep warm? Literally.
The diving's cold. I would call it tolerable, but we wear special dive suits, dry suits with thick thermal undergarments, and it's worth it for me. The risk and the discomfort is worth it because the data's important, and I also believe that like telling this story will help people to better understand ice on the planet and the importance it is, and the fact that it's kind of an endangered species these days.
And Christine, did you ever feel yourself in danger while making the film, or at least scary situation?
There were a few anxious moments. There was at one point in Greenland, we were out on the water for the most part, to film the icebergs that you see in the show. And one of the boats we were on, smoke started billowing out of the engine room. Not something you want to see when you're out in the middle of a fjord. But we were able to make our way back to shore and repair the boat, and we were fine. But there's no question that particularly for Jill, for the underwater cinematographer who was with her, for the entire crew working in Greenland and in Newfoundland, it was a high-risk shoot, and we had the help of some really fine people in both those places that kept us safe. And I'm pleased to say that we got everything we wanted and more, and there were no incidents. And in fact, it was one of the most thrilling shoots I've ever been on.
And it's a thrilling documentary to watch. Thanks so much for speaking with me.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with underwater explorer Jill Hainerth and director Christine McLean about The Berg, premiering on CBC's The Nature of Things on February 26th and on CBC Gem. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.